tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, now I have a totally different start to the show than what I was originally planning. This is a brilliant idea from Right On John, listening in Los Angeles here. This message just came in on the Montana Talks app about 4 minutes ago. He says, Clyde Lewis, the Ground Zero radio show. All right, raise your hands if you wake up even earlier than this 6 a.m. start time of Montana Talks. Does Bozeman carry Ground Zero as well, or were you listening to it on the Montana Talks app? I know KBUL carries that crazy radio show. Man, it's actually Jake in Billings just messaged me yesterday. I guess a few guys were down at the Cigar Lounge, and they were like, holy cow, have you ever listened to that weird show that's on before Aaron? Right On John says this. He says, yeah, the host of Ground Zero has mentioned many times that he has a weight problem for years. If you contact him and he starts Billings Last Diet, I think this would be an amazing business opportunity for Dr. Dale and help Clyde live better and longer. That's a brilliant idea, Right On John. Although the only downside would be, you know, you bring in his kind of national audience. He's like based out of crazy Portland or something, isn't he? I remember I had him on our show once as well. It was pretty entertaining. But that's a great idea. Although the only challenge is, man, Dr. Dale would have to get a lot more diet coaches, because if more folks around the country just find out just how great his team is at Billings Last Diet, they're already one of the top ideal protein folks in the entire world, and that would probably even put them off the charts even more. But that's a great idea. Especially with the remote option right now. I mean, I did my last meeting with my diet coach at Billings Last Diet, and I wasn't even in Billings. I was in Kalispell doing my video chat. I might have even been in Missoula or Helena doing my video chat. Heck, I could have done the video chat from D.C. while I was back on Capitol Hill if I had, 15 minutes is all it takes to do your monthly check-in with your diet coach. Or weekly if you're doing a tune-up, or you're on phase one really trying to trim back. But, yeah, he could remote in from Portland or wherever the heck he's at. That's a great idea. Here's the deal, Right On John. You could also let Clyde Lewis know about that. You could message him on his radio show website and let him know. Tell him to go to BillingsLastDiet.com, and I'm sure they'll be responsive to him just like they would be responsive to you. And then you can tell him to call 406-294-6751. And, yeah, they could set up a whole – here's what they would do. Same thing that I'm doing. I've got a scale at my house. I'll weigh in at my house. You get the Ideal Protein. They're great-tasting protein products, too. You get them shipped to your house, and boom, you're ready to roll. You do a little video chat with your diet coach, and even Tim out in Savage will tell you out there on the Mondakistan border that it works out really well. All right, Right On John. Thanks for the message. Okay, we've got our young guest producer, Finley Warden, filling in for Caden today, and so I want to take advantage of this opportunity. I want to talk to Finley. I want to get his Gen Z perspective. He's Gen Z, right? Anyway, I want to get his Gen Z perspective on two things: the Senate filibuster and Dick Cheney. I know it sounds odd, but stay with us here.
This is House Call for Health. The World Health Organization recently announcing that global tuberculosis diagnoses hit a record high, but that deaths have fallen. So what exactly is TB? WHO describes it as being caused by bacteria that most often affects the lungs. It's spread through the air when people with lung TB cough, sneeze, or spit, and someone nearby only needs to inhale a few germs to become infected. Even though it's preventable and curable, TB is still the world's top infectious killer. Most who get it live in low and middle-income countries, and though it's present all around the world, half of all people with TB are from 8 countries: Bangladesh, China, India, Indonesia, Nigeria, Pakistan, Philippines, and South Africa. Common symptoms include prolonged cough, chest pain, weakness, fatigue, weight loss, fever, and night sweats. Practicing good hygiene when coughing or sneezing by covering the nose and mouth can help prevent spread. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Securing America.
On Wednesday at Arlington National Cemetery, a special funeral service was held for Army Sergeant Michael Verardo, who survived two separate IED attacks while serving in Afghanistan and died due to complications from his injuries in August. War Secretary Pete Hegseth.
He did what so many Americans could never stand up and do. He said, send me.
VA Secretary Doug Collins added,
when once injured, that's okay. Twice injured, send me again.
Sergeant Verardo endured 120 surgeries and became an advocate for fellow veterans. He and his wife, Sarah, started the Independence Fund, which helped over 2,700 veterans with all-terrain track chairs. Secretary Collins said that even if people didn't know him,
they will know his impact. They will see the stone.
Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
Scares.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, he's barely 20 years old, so I want to get his take on former Vice President Dick Cheney. Former Vice President Dick Cheney, obviously, you know, most folks in Montana, if you're of age, you know him, well. He was a Wyoming congressman. I think he was a Secretary of Defense and then became Vice President under George W. Bush. And so, you know, maybe you, maybe me, and a lot of our listeners, you know the story of Dick Cheney very well. But what about somebody who just barely turned 20 years old, like our fill-in producer here this morning, filling in for Caden? We've got Finley Warden back with us. Finley, give us kind of just your thoughts. Obviously, you know, Dick Cheney, they just had his memorial service yesterday. And so, obviously, you know, talking about somebody after they passed away is a lot different than talking about them when they're still alive, of course. But either way, what's your thoughts as kind of a young person about Dick Cheney and the legacy of Dick Cheney?
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for having me this morning. As a Christian, I might try to be a little nicer towards Cheney just because he's passed. But I think it's important to explain kind of the legacy that he's brought on our country. He was vice president just when I was very little. I don't have any memory of it. So I've seen the fruits of his labor, all his work, through the results of just a great example is the Iraq War, and how my generation has seen a whole generation of veterans on the street struggling for mental health issues, truly struggling, because he was the main person in the Bush administration who came up with the fake WMDs talking points that brought us into that war.
Yeah, so obviously it's his legacy. He was kind of seen as really kind of what really the mastermind behind the Iraq War. Our other listeners can tell me if that's a safe assessment or not. To me, you know, I'm really saddened. You know, the Iraq War, obviously, I mean, I think that's what caused this big rift between the Trump family and the Bush families as well. Not to mention that, of course, Trump, you know, was very aggressive after Jeb Bush, who when they were both running for the Republican nomination back in 2016. Putting Iraq aside for just a moment, it's just been so sad to see the way Liz Cheney drew her father, Dick Cheney, into her personal battles. I mean, she totally bailed on the Democrat part or on the Republican Party and basically joined the Democrat Party. She bailed on conservative principles. She was part of, you know, and so it was just so sad to see the way that he got pulled into that and just kind of, you know, it had a bitter end to his final few years in office.
It was sad, especially just this last time around. He endorsed Kamala Harris. I'm not sure what his mental faculties were in the last years of his life, if he was slipping a lot. I don't know if that was his real decision or not, or if that was his daughter speaking on behalf of him. But I kind of really think that says a common argument people make about him is that, yes, he may have done some things as vice president that were bad, but he has a whole lifetime of conservative wins in the Senate and Congress. But the argument I'd make when push comes to shove at the end of his life, whether it was his daughter's influence or not, he put his pro-war values on the forefront because he ended up endorsing Kamala Harris, who was the pro-war candidate when Donald Trump has not started any war so far in his presidency and is truly trying to bring peace to the world.
Yeah, frankly, he's brought about already 8 different peace agreements. You know, a couple of good things that I would say about Dick Cheney is when it comes to unleashing American energy. When I was about your age, actually, I was probably your age. I was probably only 20 years old, and I was working on energy policy for then Senator Conrad Burns. And it would have been 21. It would have been 2001 because it would have been after the 2000 election. But we had this thick blue policy book, National Energy Policy Book, that Vice President Dick Cheney was tasked with putting together. And they shipped this thing out all across Capitol Hill, all the staffers, the senators, the congressmen, et cetera. And what Dick Cheney was talking about then, when you talk about the rocking the Bakken and unleashing the American energy from the Bakken oil boom in the early 2010s, I mean, really, I think what he did back then laid the groundwork for what President Trump is doing to unleash American energy right now. But the other thing is, so from an American energy standpoint, really, he was a stalwart. And I think a lot of the brains behind a lot of what we're seeing with unleashing American energy right now. So I would say that is a good thing in his passing. The other thing I would say, he was actually a pretty down-to-earth guy. I actually got to have dinner with him once, and you could tell he cared about the veterans. You know, agree or disagree with the war in Iraq, you could tell he cared about the veterans. I mean, in fact, there was a couple of us veterans sitting at the table, and one of them, he was just asking questions. Well, hey, what was it like, you know, being special operations at that time and things like that? And when he drove up to Billings for this event, he didn't have a security detail with him. Remember, this was one of the most hated figures, especially by the Islamo-fascists. He had no security detail. He just drove up to Billings from Wyoming for an event. This was over 10 years ago now, of course, because there was another angle, too, that I want to get your take on, Finley. So keep your microphone hot there coming up after the Farm and Ranch Report, because I also want to get your take. Look at what President Trump is accomplishing in the Middle East right now. These Abraham Peace Accords just had the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia in the Oval Office earlier this week. And it's just interesting that if they could take their Trump blinders off, the Bushes and the Cheneys, they would realize what incredible work Trump is doing in the Middle East right now. Anyway, stand by.
Fox on set.
Another gap between smartphones is bridged. There used to be a lot of consternation between the users of iPhones and Android phones, especially when it came to messaging. iPhone users would shudder at the idea of having to use green SMS instead of blue iMessage to talk with Android people. RCS messaging has changed that, but with consumer demand and with some laws in the EU, we're beginning to see more parity between phone builds. Now, Google says its Pixel 10 phone running Android can send and receive files directly with iPhones. Its quick share feature now supports Apple's AirDrop. And yes, an iPhone can also detect the Google phone too. It works only with Pixel 10, however, and not other Android devices. Both phones do need to be set to be discoverable by all devices, but Google insists the file transfers are secure and a direct transfer between devices, not some kind of workaround. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A woman who was handed the keys to a new way of life in Georgia makes today's Dean's List. Miss Len is the school parking lot security guard at Flowery Branch High School. She's a beloved part of the school, so when her car became unsafe to drive because of an old tire, Principal Joey Farah decided to help out. That one small act of kindness spread across the school and the community. Christian Brothers Automotive wanted to give her another reliable car that had a brand new transmission. And that's when the students at Flowery Branch stepped in and worked with local businesses to detail the car and cover her registration costs. So Miss Len now has a better car that didn't cost her a dime because everyone wanted to help. Miss Len was surprised, overwhelmed, and so grateful. A wonderful story of how being kind spreads like sunshine. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Put your phone on D&D, that means that do not disturb when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safe, please don't always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D. That means that you're not disturbed when you drive. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please don't always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
My mom has decided to learn to paint, and she's good.
When that's now into creative cuisine, and I've already put on 6 pounds.
Learning new things comes with age.
My mom, she started forgetting my name and what we're talking about.
Forgetting well-known things doesn't. Memory loss may be a sign of Alzheimer's disease. Early detection gives you and your loved one time to plan for the future. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nemitz. Well, there's absolutely no question that wolves continue to be a hot topic across our region. And with that said, Washington's Fish and Wildlife Commission has said no, not now, to sending wolves to Colorado after a hearing in which the state's residents vigorously argued against it. With more, here's our network's Rachel Gable on this ongoing debate surrounding wolves in Colorado.
According to reporting by Marianne Goodland, the commission voted 8-1 to send a letter to Colorado stating that it would not approve the request while Washington wolves remained listed as endangered. The public comment period on Saturday showed Washington residents do not support sending wolves to Colorado. Commissioner Steve Parker said there was consensus among stakeholders.
Well, this is a simpler case for me, I think. As the director has pointed out, this is, in terms of Washington's interests, this is really not a biological issue. It is almost exclusively a policy issue.
A representative of the pro-wolf Washington Wildlife was strongly critical and said Colorado is not caring for wolves, yet have the audacity to ask for more. The Colorado plan, according to Tim Lennox, was the result of ballot box biology and through people who were ill-informed on the subject. He said it proved to be a disastrous implementation because people weren't informed about the ramifications, and he noted that the mountain lion vote in 2024 failed because of how poorly wolf management has gone in Colorado.
All right, thanks a lot, Rachel. And of course, it's not the last we'll hear about wolves, whether in Colorado, Washington, or anywhere out here in the West. The Vermilion Ranch Fall Performance Sale is coming up November 28th and 29th at the Public Auction Yards in Billings, Montana. 2 full days of high-quality Angus genetics from one of the most trusted names in the entire breed. 1 o'clock on Friday, November 28th. 1,500 of Montana's best fancy one-iron commercial heifers sell. Bred to top Vermilion bulls and set to calve February to March. Also selling a 100-head commercial cow dispersion right out of the Diamond Ring Ranch. Then on Saturday, November 29th at 11 a.m., the sale continues with the major female offering, a 100-head registered cow dispersion of Cummins 7 and 8-year-old cows, 100 registered bred heifers, and 80 April calving registered cows. Following the females, 330 performance bulls, 180 outstanding fall yearlings, and 150 big stout Cummins 2-year-olds. All bulls are genomic measured and pap tested at 6,000 feet. Sale videos and bidding available at northernlivestockvideo.com.
Grow with purpose at the Rotation Matters Growing Together Workshop happening December 1st at the Hilton Garden Inn in Great Falls. Hear from pulse and canola experts as they share insights on crop rotation, market trends, farm bill updates, and what's next for Montana agriculture. Registration only $50 online, $100 at the door. Join Northern Pulse Growers Association and Pacific Northwest Canola December 1st for a full day of learning, collaboration, and growth. Sign up today at northernpulse.com. That's northernpulse.com.
Well, according to DTN this morning, the Chinese scholar charged with allegedly smuggling a pathogen into the U.S. was sentenced to time served and has since left the country because of a plea agreement reached with federal prosecutors. Yuxin Jian is a former scholar at the University of Michigan who, along with her boyfriend, was arrested for smuggling into the U.S. Fusarium graninearum, which is classified by scientific literature as a potential agri-terrorism weapon. You can read more about the case by visiting us online at westernagnetwork.com. I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me see. I do have a scene setter for you here. Maybe I should run this here. Finley, let me run this here as a scene setter. This was a special report with Brett Baer yesterday. They had a nice report on the funeral service for former Wyoming congressman and former United States Vice President Dick Cheney. Let me run that as a scene setter. And then I want to get Finley's take on just the Middle East in general. Because this is where, if I had a chance to talk to George W. Bush or one more time to Dick Cheney before he had passed away, I would ask them, I would be like, don't you guys see the remarkable accomplishments for the United States of America that are taking place in the Middle East right now that actually started under Trump 45? I'll get into that more here in just a second because I want to get Finley's take on it too. But here's the scene setter first.
Former Vice President Dick Cheney remembered at his funeral today in Washington as solid, reliable, and rare. Those words coming from his longtime boss, former President George W. Bush. Cheney died November 3rd. Chief Washington correspondent Mike Emanuel reports.
Former Vice President Dick Cheney remembered at his funeral service as a man devoted to country over party.
In moments of testing, Dick Cheney was the model of concentration, alertness, and composure.
Former Presidents George W. Bush and Joe Biden paid their respects. However, President Donald Trump and Cheney remained political adversaries to the end. Five living former vice presidents were at the service. Current Vice President J.D. Vance was not invited, but expressed his condolences.
There are some political disagreements there, but he was a guy who served his country.
Bush talked about why he selected Cheney.
I wanted someone with the ability to step into the presidency without getting distracted by the ambition to seek it.
Cheney told Fox his lack of presidential ambition allowed him to remain focused on the critical policies that kept the U.S. safe after the September 11th attacks.
You can, on the one hand, be committed to pursuing the president's agenda, and on the other hand, pursue your own presidential campaign.
After decades of public service, Cheney left Washington politics behind and focused on family, especially spending time with his seven grandchildren.
I'll forever see him on the South Fork of the Snake, fly rod in hand, perfect cast after perfect cast.
My teacher said that Grandpa was the best show and tell since my classmate brought her cow to class.
I'm pretty sure he's the only person who ever had the title Vice President turned Rodeo Grandpa.
He was also a husband to his wife, Lynn, for 61 years. His daughter, Liz, who was elected to her father's old congressional seat, reflected on their final moments together.
His last words were to tell my mother he loved her. And now, all of us who loved him so dearly say to him, good night, sweet dad.
At Washington National Cathedral, Mike Emanuel, Fox News.
All right, there you go. Okay, coming up after this Fox News update here in 60 seconds, yeah, Finley Ward and I will talk more. And I want to look big picture over decades at what's going on in the Middle East. Finley, so you're a student of history. You may not have lived through the early days of the Iraq War, et cetera, but as a student of history, you probably remember one of the, I think, one of the most absurd thoughts by, I guess, the folks that you would describe as the neocons was this idea that, oh, we're going to turn these Arab countries like Iraq and these, you know, whether you want to call it Persian or whatever, countries like Afghanistan, we're going to turn them into democracies. We're going to make them democracies like us. Completely absurd, right? But I think it's interesting when you look at, if you want to instead look at, okay, we needed fundamental reform across the Arab world and into places like Afghanistan to combat radical Islamic terrorism. I mean, if you want to talk about it from that standpoint, if you want to look about it from that standpoint, if that's what George W. Bush and Dick Cheney were seeking to accomplish in the Middle East, that's what Donald J. Trump is doing right now. And if they could recognize it, if they could cheer that on, I think people would have a lot more respect for them. But they've lost respect for both of those families as a result. Your thoughts, Finley?
Well, yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think Trump's direction in the Middle East is a huge step in the right direction. I think what we just saw the other day with Saudi Arabia, how Donald Trump is building relationships with these countries that have previously really been stuck and kind of as pawns as our Cold War, like in our Cold War with China. Saudi Arabia was looking to China, has been looking to Iran, has been looking to Russia in investments in their economy. And under Biden's presidency, Biden did not reach out to Saudi Arabia, and we saw continued investments from Saudi Arabia into our enemies. So I think Donald Trump rolling out the red carpet in a way to Saudi Arabia, to lots of these like other Arab countries like Qatar, I think it's nothing but good, not only so we can continue to build stability in the region, but also so we can fight back against our real enemies on the world stage, like our China and Russia.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought 25 years ago that women would eventually be allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia, that we'd have UFC fights taking place in Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah, well, I think when you do what President Trump is doing and reach out a hand of peace and cooperation and of business and trying to make a deal, that strategy works a whole lot better than trying to go in there with military action and to force peace and democracy. Because we saw that didn't work. We saw that led to the rise of ISIS, which Donald Trump later had to end up taking out.
Well, and then I'm also trying to think, you know, after this incredibly successful military strike on the Iranian nuclear sites, and George W. Bush, I think, included Iran in the Axis of Evil, in his Axis of Evil speech back in the day. Incredibly successful strike in the Iranian nuclear sites, which is also key to building support in the Arab world as well. I mean, maybe I missed it because I can't remember if there was any response from George W. Bush or the Cheney family at all, something that they would have cheered 25 years ago.
Toe fungus, you got to hear about the secret.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive, like Marva.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with her hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex, how did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom! I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I don't recall ever hearing anything out of the Bush family or the Cheney family following these successful strikes on the Iranian nuclear sites. I mean, incredible operation by our U.S. military. And by the way, an incredible operation that I believe, based off of no classified information, based off of what I'm seeing in open source material, that there's no way that operation would have been as successful as it was without the incredible support from our friends in Israel and their intelligence agents on the ground, and then their hammering of the Iranian air defense and missile defense systems as well. So just a remarkable operation all the way around. So I asked, as we went to the last break, I asked Grok, which is the AI platform built into X, how did Bush and Cheney families respond to the successful strikes on the Iranian nuclear sites? I'll give you the answer here in just a second. But first, let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, great to hear from you. Yeah, what's your thoughts on the Bush family, the Cheney funeral, and more?
Well, thanks for taking my phone call. I know you're talking about the Middle East, and I asked Finney if it was all right if I go back a little bit further in time, since he's a historian and wants to learn about American history. And I want to go back to today, November 22nd, 1963, the day that John F. Kennedy was murdered. And I'm going to say, be very bold here in what I know, and I'm going to tell the younger generation, especially men like Finley. I believe it was the CIA. It was a CIA hit. I believe it was the CIA with the military-industrial complex and the globalists who all wanted John F. K. dead because he was against the CIA for one thing, and he wanted to pull out of Vietnam, contrary to what you've heard. Lyndon Baines Johnson knew this also, but he kept this to himself. And I'm going to say that if John F. Kennedy had lived, I don't believe that there would have been a Vietnam War. And my generation grew up with lies. And, you know, I'm a very patriotic person. I love our military. I would never say anything or do anything against them. But we grew up with lies. We were told that the Vietnam Navy was attacking our ships, which is nonsense because Vietnam at that time had little fishing boats, if you want to call that a navy. They didn't have the sources to attack our ships. That began the Vietnam War. And it was George Bush Sr. at the time was involved, of course, greatly in the Vietnam era. And, of course, he kept his son out of the front lines. He got George Bush Jr. in a Texas Reserve Air Force there in the state of Texas. And I've always held that against the family. But I'm going to say this, too. John F. Kennedy, it was remarkable what he did. Like President Trump, he reached out to an enemy, which, of course, was Fidel Castro at that time. And I'm going to tell you something. If he wouldn't have done that, we would have had a nuclear war. And I'm not sure what the world that we live in today would have looked like. And so I just want people like Finley to know these things from my youth, you know.
Yeah, and 62 years
and
ago,
how our,
right?
How our government can turn against us. But
what was that, 62 years ago when JFK was, I think it was 62 years ago. Yeah, Nancy, thanks for the call. If my calculator math is correct here, President John F. Kennedy assassinated back on November 22nd, 1963. So, yeah, tomorrow, the anniversary there. And Nancy, very interesting to hear your thoughts on that and taking us back even a little bit further in history. I think I remember right, too, Finley, yeah, interested in hearing your take on what Nancy had to share with us there, because I think I remember right here, and at least Grok is telling me that I do remember right here, that, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., who was a Democrat presidential candidate and now is a Trump cabinet member, he has publicly stated his belief that the CIA, or at least certain leadership within the CIA at the time, was involved in the assassination of his uncle, President John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, well, it was a really cool experience for me. Earlier this year, I got to visit the museum in Dallas, right across the street from where he got shot. It was a pretty cool experience to really see exactly where it happened right there. And I think it's probably right. Even in just walking through that museum, they pretty much conceded that he was probably killed either by the CIA or foreign intelligence forces. But I think it's probably accurate to say that he was killed by the CIA or foreign intelligence. And it was probably because he was truly trying to prevent nuclear proliferation in the Middle East and really all across the world. And the way he reached out to our enemies to try to find peace really pissed off the deep state.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. And then you look at, okay, I mean, we lost John F. Kennedy. Now, I wasn't around then either, but we lose somebody like JFK. And then we get stuck with somebody like LBJ, and look at the massive expansion of the welfare state. I truly believe this could get us into a whole other topic altogether. But I truly believe, and I actually you know, discussed this in a history class while I was at Howard University. I was the only white kid in the class, but I threw out the argument. I said, okay, look, wait. First, you know, when you look at the history of racism against black Americans, you know, you had slavery and then sharecropping and Jim Crow. I said, well, what came next? I mean, I was like, okay, so if we're going to be arguing that there was this trail of oppression, you know, that started, you know, first there was slavery, then there was sharecropping, and then there was Jim Crow. Did it just stop? And I argued, could it be argued that the welfare state is modern day sharecropping and was the next path of oppression from basically let's say it, the Democrat Party, basically. Finley, your thoughts?
I think JFK is really an example for what the next generation of Republicans should be looking for, because he was a populist president who looked out for us on the national stage. He looked out for Americans through his domestic policy, but he did it without massively expanding the welfare state. And I think that's a great example, because we've seen how the expansion of the welfare state has truly devastated certain communities, certain minority communities in our country. And I think looking to what JFK did, looking to his rhetoric, looking to his policies, can really be a blueprint for what a common sense populist Republican can be in the year 2025.
Well, and then also, I think it's interesting that Nancy brought up the anniversary of the assassination of JFK, because I think last time we talked with you about, you know, the death of Charlie Kirk, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, for a lot of your young generation, you know, they weren't around for JFK, but they felt like this is that type of a generational impact, the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
I think the parallel is exactly right. And really, when you look at the assassination of Charlie Kirk, I've said this on your show before, but I really think it kind of was the JFK moment for my generation, because in the same way that previous generations saw JFK be assassinated brutally, it wasn't on live TV, but the video was later released. In the same way, Charlie Kirk was killed on an online live stream that hundreds of thousands of young people were watching. And I think every generation has a moment like this. And not to say I'm glad my moment had a generation like this. Charlie Kirk's death is tragic. But I'm glad to see how Charlie Kirk's death has really woken up my generation to the danger of political violence. And I think it's really shown my generation that this is serious. Like, politics is serious. It has real outcomes on people's lives and on our lives and our culture.
I just hope that same generation that has been reawoken, that there's this revival, that it doesn't, you know, slide down into infighting and grifters taking over, kind of like how grifters took over, like Jesse Jackson and some of those, and Al Sharpton, those grifters took over after the assassination of Martin Luther King. And I hope our side doesn't see grifters and infighting take over. By the way, I threw out the question, how did the Bush and Cheney families respond? Grok, at least, is saying here, and they're quoting Politico, that Cheney's family, even though Liz Cheney had previously supported robust measures against Iran, she was quiet on these successful strikes taking out the Iranian nuclear sites. As for the Bush family, George W. Bush apparently hasn't really publicly said much, but Jeb Bush, his brother, publicly praised this decisive step to prevent a nuclear-armed Iran. He commended President Trump, and Trump in turn publicly thanked Jeb Bush on Truth Social for mentioning that as well. So anyway, interesting angle. We got the Family Foundation update next.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
These Democratic members of Congress are now actively encouraging our troops and also our intelligence community to disobey the commander-in-chief of our country. And this video, including, you know, Senators Elise Slotkin of Michigan, Mark Kelly of Arizona, warning this administration is pitting our uniformed military and intelligence community professionals against American citizens. Oh, these people, like Representative Houlihan of Pennsylvania, expressed exasperation with how critics had framed the message. Now, I ask all of you in this audience, it is clear there's no ambiguity in what it is that they're saying.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Right now in Ukraine, with the war ongoing, elderly Jewish people are trapped in unbearable poverty. For example, Galina is a 96-year-old Holocaust survivor who has spent her life in the same village. She's now sick and alone, and now it's bitter cold. Like every day, she's got to decide whether to spend what little money she has on food, medication, or heating. Now, thanks to your generosity and the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, you can bring hope to all of those in need. Your gift of $25 will help provide a food box packed full of life-saving essentials that will help feed an elderly individual, a Jewish person struggling just to survive. Don't delay. Your gift today will help provide these life-saving food and hope to people like Alina and many like her that are in desperate need. Rush your gift now. Call toll-free. It's 888-488-IFCJ. That's 888-488-IFCJ. Online, it's HannityForTheFellowship.org. That's Hannity for the Fellowship, one word, .org.
Fox on film.
I'm Michelle Pulido.
I'm off to see The Wizard.
In theaters, Wicked for Good, the sequel to the blockbuster, starring Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. We find Elphaba in hiding, branded the Wicked Witch of the West. Glinda, now Oz's glittering symbol of goodness, lives in the Emerald City Palace. The two are separated but need to face each other one last time as their friendship holds the key to saving themselves and Oz.
We play roles in a client's lives.
In Rental Family, Brendan Fraser stars as a down-and-out actor living in Tokyo who was hired as a token American guy for a Japanese rental family company providing professional stand-in services.
You will be my guest at Chatoka-san for the weekend.
And on Netflix, the rom-com Champagne Problems. An ambitious executive travels to France to secure the acquisition of a world-renowned champagne brand before Christmas, but her plans are upended when she falls into a whirlwind romance with a charming Parisian. That's Fox on Film on Fox News.
High caliber.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
As the days grow shorter and the nights grow colder, we begin looking forward to two of my favorite holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and both give us a chance to thank God for His abundant provision, grace, mercy, and love. For some, Thanksgiving's little more than an excuse for a day off of work, a big meal, and a chance to watch some football. For our family, it's a chance to reflect on God's provision in our daily lives. Sure, we enjoy the cacophony of cousins playing together, the incredible smells that emanate from the kitchen, the taste of recipes that have been passed down from generation to generation, and the sense of belonging to a large family that takes this gift of family seriously. But it's more than that. In the midst of normal Thanksgiving festivities, we make a concerted effort to remember that it's all part of God's blessings. The food, the family, the fellowship, the safety and security we enjoy as Americans, and the freedom to worship Him without fear of persecution. As Christians, we know that every good thing comes from God, and Thanksgiving, properly celebrated, gives us a chance to stop and thank Him for all of these blessings. Christmas is the same way. For us, there's always a healthy tension between the pull of materialistic, profit-driven consumerism that seems to force its way into every nook and cranny of the holiday, and the innate desire of every Christ follower to focus on the coming of Jesus and God's grand redemptive plan. In our home, it's Christmas music and rich traditions handed down from generations past. These traditions are touchstones that remind us where we came from and also of our responsibility to pass them down to the generations that follow. Our families came primarily from Eastern Europe, so the smell of Hungarian Christmas cookies baking in the oven brings back a flood of memories from Christmases gone by. Then there's the ever-present cousin chaos that reminds us that the holidays should be exciting as well as reverent. And speaking of cousin chaos, it reminds me of our first Christmas before Jennifer and I had any kids. Her parents' house was full of energy, and we finally needed a break. We snuck away to our bedroom in the basement just to decompress. Soon, there was a knock on the door, and a voice said, "Are you guys in there?" We thought it was her brother Jeff, and we said, "Yes, we're in here. Jerry's kids are so loud, we just had to get away for a few minutes." The voice then said, "This is Jerry. I agree. Can I join you?" It was embarrassing at the time, but the story gets told every Christmas, and those little kids are now in their mid-30s. These are the types of shared experiences that bind us together as families. They become part of our traditions, and traditions foster a sense of belonging and continuity. As we begin this holiday season, our work days at the Montana Family Foundation are filled with plans for the upcoming year. But it's important to remember why we do what we do. Strong families are critical to the long-term health of our nation, but they're also one of God's greatest gifts, and it's important for us to stop and remember that and to give Him thanks. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laszlofy for that great update, as always, especially as we head into the holiday season. All right. What an hour this has been. Finley Warden, thanks for filling in for Caden. And Caden, hope you're enjoying some well-deserved time off. And a great phone call from Nancy and Roundup as well. The one topic we didn't get to, and I figured this might have been how the hour would go once we get into a topic like that, man, so many different angles to look at here. But we still did not get Finley's take yet on the filibuster in the United States Senate and why it is time, even though we don't want to do away with the filibuster, it's something that has to be done. I truly believe that. And the reason why I believe it is specifically because of Gen Z and these younger voters. One of the last times we caught up with Finley Warden, he was saying, look, Gen Z came out for Trump. Gen Z came out for the Republicans. The Republicans have got to deliver. And that's the point I want to pick up on. We didn't get to it yet. So coming up at 7:40 after our segment with Becky Hillier, we're going to mic Finley back up and we'll talk about the filibuster.
Oh, would they just stop with the brawl of the wild garbage? It's called the Cat-Grizz game. Stop with the fair trade organic coffee crap. My rant, MontanaTalks.com. And happy, at least when it comes to calves and prices. That's how I would sum up our coverage from the Montana Farm Bureau Convention in Missouri. The farmers, not so much, but we had great conversations, got a chance to catch up with so many great farmers and ranchers from all across Montana at the Farm Bureau Convention earlier this week. The highlights, the full audio of our convention coverage and more, download the Montana Talks app on your phone. You'll have it all right there.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL, your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with KBUL.